Well, it's really great to be here with you all, and it was really great to be on your weekend away a few weeks ago. It was really nice to be able to spend time with people that I wouldn't usually and get to know you all more. And it was just an exciting time, wasn't it? A fresh sense of expectation about what God is doing with us as a church as a whole, but also here in Marlow. And, you know, it's beyond that, isn't it? You know, this is a time when God is moving in our country. Yay! Are you excited? You know, it just feels that through, like, Pioneer and various things, I get to meet other church leaders and you hear different stories about things that God is doing. You know, things about how different church leaders of different networks are working together for the sake of seeing God's kingdom come in our country. That's good, isn't it? And that's got to be the way it's going to happen. We've got to all be in it together to see this nation turn around. Because, you know, so many people have prayed over so many years for revival to come, for God to move in this nation. And God doesn't forget those prayers. Those seeds have been sown. And it feels that there's something fresh for us in this nation and here in Marlow. So I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about what God is doing in Marlow. It's amazing that you've got the Marlow Youth Centre. And just to see how so many things are coming together around that with what's happening with River Life, Holiday Week, lots of things. Obviously, I don't know everything that's going on, but just things that I hear. You can see that something's coming together, that God is positioning you to really impact your community here in Marlow. So exciting, isn't it? And those of you who were here last week will know that you're going to be looking at John for the rest of this year. And so we're just going to start off in John chapter 2. And we're going to look at that story there in the context of us reaching out into our community. And I'm going to speak for a short while, and then we're actually going to discuss it in groups and talk about what does this mean for us here now and feedback, so we can kind of talk about it all together, which I thought would be good to be able to do that. I just want to say, I just bought this Bible a few weeks ago. It's called The New Testament for Everyone, translated by Tom Wright. Has anyone else heard of it? A few people. It's a really great translation. Tom Wright, if you don't know, is a theologian, and he writes like the academic stuff, but he also writes stuff for normal people like me to understand. And this translation is, he believes that in every generation you need to freshly translate the Bible as closely to the original, but in language which is accessible for us today. And he's attempted to do that, and I think it's a really great translation. So I just wanted to say that. So John chapter 2. So we're going to do 2 verse 1 to 12. So I just read that through. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. The wine ran out. Jesus' mother came over to him. "They haven't got any wine," she said. "Oh, mother," replied Jesus, "what's that got to do with you and me? My time hasn't come yet." His mother spoke to the servants. "Do whatever he tells you to," she said. 6 stone water jars were standing there, ready for use in the Jewish purification rites. Each held about 20 or 30 gallons. "Fill the jars with water," said Jesus to the servants, and they filled them right up to the brim. "Now draw some out," he said, "and take it to the chief steward." They did so. When the chief steward tasted the water that had turned into wine, he didn't know where it had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. He called the bridegroom. "What everybody normally does," he says, "is to serve the good wine first and then the worse stuff when people have had plenty to drink. But you've kept the good wine till now." This event in Cana of Galilee was the first of Jesus' signs. He displayed his glory and his disciples believed in him. We'll just stop there. There's so much stuff in this story of Jesus' first miracle that we can take and apply in terms of reaching out into our community. And I want to talk about that. I want to tell you a few stories from the journey because, as I think most of you know, that's the congregation that I lead, and so I'm more aware of the stories there. I just want to say as well for the recording that some of the stories I'm going to say, maybe it should just be kept on the website to the Marlow people because I don't want it to be too public. But in the journey, we're really wanting to look more and more like you guys are here about how we're actually reaching out into our village. You know, a few months ago, all of the leaders of River, the congregational teams and central team, we had a training evening with a couple called Julian and Sarah Richards that lead a church in Swansea. And they were just sharing their story of their church and kind of really sharing with us a lot of wisdom about how they go about doing church. And it was really amazing and really impacting for us. You know, they planted the church there 20 years ago, and they are so engaged with their community, involved in all kinds of things. And their whole way that they go about church is with people who don't yet know Jesus in mind the whole time. And so they're very, very intentional about that, from how they do their Sunday morning meetings to their whole strategy, their whole social calendar, the way they build community. It's all completely intentional into how are they going to love their community. And if you want to check them out, look at their website. They're called Cornerstone Church. But as they told us their story, and we're actually going to get them back again in January to speak, tell us more about how they do it, you know, it just inspired us all so much. And for us at the Journey, it was just before we were about to have our leadership team weekend away, which was good timing for us. And, you know, of course, all of us are passionate about loving people who don't yet know Jesus. But, you know, sometimes when you have something like that, it just jolts you again to be like, okay, how do we take this more seriously? And so when we went away on that weekend, we were like, right, we want to rethink the way we do everything that we do, because we want it to be about how are we loving our community. You know, we've got both the village and Royal Holloway University. We want everything that we do to be with that in mind. And so we've begun to readdress different things, the way that we're doing our Sunday meetings and step by step, because we want everything we do to be with people who don't yet know Jesus in mind. And as we're stepping out in that, you know, there are different things we've been doing in our community for a number of years, and we haven't seen people yet making those decisions to follow Jesus, but we've just been plugging away, just building relationship with people, getting to know them. But, you know, I believe that, you know, as we here in Marlow and as a church, as River as a whole, as we become more intentional about church is about us loving our communities, that God is going to come through and do some incredible things. And I want to tell one more story and then just look at this passage. Again, from the Journey, because that's the stories I know. We have this youth club called Impact, and we've been doing it for a number of years with teenagers, again, mostly from the Forest Estate. And in the last year, it's really like taken off. Denise Brannan, who's the leader of it, you know, she was like praying, God, I want you to do more. And then he did. And then she was like, oh, I don't know what to do now. So it's been a real journey for her and the guys, the team working with her. But by the end of this academic year gone, we had 33 teenagers. And at the beginning, we had 8. So that was massive growth in 1 year of these teenagers coming along. And so it's been really exciting, but we just don't want it just, we want to really be involved in their lives and in their families' lives. And Denise, in particular, she's got such a heart for it. So, you know, her heart is so for the families, and she's just been found herself getting situations where she's been invited into people's homes and chances to really build relationship with people. And at the end of the last academic year, we took some of them to Urban Saints Weekend Away, kind of, which is kind of designed with for non-church teenagers in mind. And the teenagers we took were the worst behaved out of everyone in the camp, and it was a total nightmare. And loads of good things happened as well. Denise said it was like giving birth, very painful but worth it in the end. And as a result of that kind of contact, Denise began to have a few conversations with some of the parents who were like, I just don't know what to do with my children because they're so badly behaved. Please, can you help me? So Denise was like, well, you know, I can just meet up with you and support you. I don't necessarily have all the answers, but I'll be there for you. And it's just like those kind of things as you get involved in people's lives where suddenly you're able to be having conversations about supporting parents in those situations. So we're like really encouraged by the things that God is beginning to do as we step out in that. And I think, you know, the things that I kind of really speak to me through this passage is that here we have Jesus. You know, Jesus is our example of this, you know, coming down to be amongst us, be part of life. And here he is going about normal day-to-day life, going to a wedding. You know, it's not a special meeting, it's just normal life. And, you know, where it talks about Jesus being at this wedding with his family and with his disciples, you know, to me, that speaks to the fact that Jesus has developed this community already with his friends and with his family. And it's out of that and into this context as he goes to the wedding that he then ministers. And, you know, that's so important that we build community as a congregation, that as we're going out to love our communities, we want to invite them into something that's a place of love and a place where they can find family and can just be free to be themselves. And so, you know, as we're, as a church, wanting to push into that, we need to be intentional about building community together. You know, obviously, we all do it to a certain extent, but I think there's something more of how we do community together, how we arrange our social life and specific events as a church together so we have something that we can invite people into. Because community, to me, I think community is the main thing. Community will win people because they get to experience the love that we know. To me, like, church is all about community. It's the most important thing. You know, I like meetings, but I wouldn't mind if we didn't have them as long as we still had community. You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't have meetings, by the way, but but, you know, community is so important. So into that context where Jesus is doing life with his friends and family, they know who he is. He's just going to this wedding. And then we see, like, this need arises. And it's only as we are out there going about our day-to-day lives, however that may be, that we actually are aware of the needs and the problems that are actually existing. You know, for some of us, that'll just be naturally, you know, as we're at work or, you know, as we're taking our children to school. For some of us, you know, God is calling us into new situations in the community that he wants us to be involved in so we can get to hear about those problems and those needs. But as Mary is faced with that problem, her immediate response is to take it to Jesus. And so, you know, we want to be those people who don't just see the problems and just kind of think how terrible it is, but actually intentionally bring it to Jesus, even though it seems so impossible. You know, water, wine running out, what's Jesus going to do about that? A lot of people would think, why would Jesus even care that the wine had run out? He might be like, yes, the wine's run out. They're not going to get drunk anymore and do anything bad. You know, but in this culture, you know, the wine running out is a really serious thing. You know, it would be like a shame on the family if they'd run out of wine in their wedding celebration. And so into that situation, Mary goes to Jesus, but she comes at him from the point of view of do exactly what Jesus says. So in bringing problems and situations that we see in our community to Jesus, we need to be open to the specific wisdom and insight he's going to give us as to how to deal with those situations. And so, you know, there's wisdom that's going to come to us in those things. You know, sometimes, it, you know, obviously wisdom comes in all different ways. Sometimes it's just common sense, it seems, or thoughts that come into our heads. Sometimes it's more traumatic. But as we are in that kind of partnership with Jesus, he's going to bring us wisdom, which is going to change situations around in our community. And it's also interesting in this that, you know, when Jesus is kind of going through the process of how he's going to do this miracle, that he chooses to use the water jars, which were used for the Jewish purification rites. And it's like in that, he's actually taken the opportunity to be prophetic as well, because there's something about wine filling up these Jewish purification rites, which is part of the old. And then in what Jesus was bringing is the new wine. And so as we step out into our communities and we do stuff as well, God is also calling us to be prophetic into that. And for the people that Jesus came to reach, which were the Jews at that time, that was in itself meant something to them. They might not have got it straight away then, but in time it meant something to them. And so, you know, I think there's a creativity and a prophetic thing that's coming to us as we reach out in our communities, which is going to mean something to the people that we're reaching out to, which is like another, you know, it's like I love that God is like mysterious as well as makes sense logically, if you know what I mean. You know, he'll do things to draw us into him, to reveal more of himself. And so as we're reaching out into our community, we can also be creative and prophetic in that. And we might, God might tell us to do something and it might not make exact sense to us at that point and what that prophetically means. But as we're obedient to him, that will become clear. Okay, I'm going to say one more thing and then we're going to talk about it. You know, as Jesus did this miracle, it says that his disciples, his glory was revealed and his disciples believed in him. And, you know, the last thing that I want to say is that when Jesus was on the earth, he spent so much of his time doing miracles to point people towards him. So he had some tangible thing about who God was. And if Jesus was doing it when he was on the earth, then why don't, you know, we should be doing it, if that makes sense. That actually we want our outreach in our communities to have that supernatural element to it. It's to have those signs that are going to point people to who Jesus is, that are going to reveal his glory in it. So I'm going to stop now because there's way more that I could say, but I want us to get into groups and talk about this to each other. But, you know, just kind of reflecting on, in this new season right now, what does it mean for us as the people of Marlow here to reach out into our communities? What does it mean for how we do church together? What does it mean for the way that we think? And then it would be really good to hear back from people about what you're kind of feeling the Holy Spirit is prompting you in. So please feel free to move the chairs around. Hopefully that's okay. And just get into groups of four or five. And let's just talk about that. Sorry to break into your discussions, but it'd be really good to hear what different people have to say. Which group would like to go first?
Well, we were discussing the fact that it's far easier to get involved in organised activities, and particularly when people are a lot more grateful or a lot more needy. So the things like Wickham and Wycombe are much easier to, and people seem more grateful, whereas if you're in a much more affluent sort of environment, which we are in here in Marlow, it's people don't tend to come and ask for help. We talked about the importance of having non-Christian friends and being involved with those, because if all you do is see Christians, then that's not going to be much of an outreach.
Yeah, the other thing we were thinking about was our relationship with living in a very wealthy area. It's much harder to have that relationship where you haven't got an organised activity or a poverty or a need or an evident need. There are hidden needs. And that relationship with people depends entirely upon the relationship you have with God first. And if you're overflowing with the Spirit, then miracles tend to happen around you and affect other people. You can go in, you can be an ever such a nice person, you can talk righteousness, you can do all the right things with the wealthy people, and they say, oh yeah, they're all right, but they'll never get involved in that. But if you're overflowing with the Holy Spirit, you can stop a room. Things happen. So it's that relationship primarily with God before you go into your relationship with other people that has a dramatic effect.
Well, we were actually beginning to discuss the effect of having the Marlow Youth Centre on the community around, and being very pleased at how many young people actually have come along. And going on from that, how we bring people along into knowing more about God, and we find that's quite a difficult thing to find creative ways. For instance, at River Life, we have a good connection and we can pray with people, but it's finding creative ways of making God relevant.
Dave called me a couple of weeks ago and asked me if I could help out at this youth centre. I've never really done anything to help because I'm still quite new to the whole thing. But apparently, like, the first week, we've only done 2 weeks, apparently the first week only, like, I think, like, 8 or 10 children turned up. And by the second week, we had, like, 30 to 40 children, which was on Monday. And apparently, we're expecting even more next week. And this isn't from us promising it, this is just from the kids. And I was really surprised because I thought the children were from the church, from families of the church, because I thought, you know, maybe the parents, like, prompted them to go or something. But I asked Dave, and these are just children from around the area, and I thought, what an opportunity, like, a subtle way to kind of, like, you know, look after them. And it just went really well.
That's great. And that just, as you were sharing, that just prompted, you know, as I was coming here this morning, I just felt like God was saying that actually he's calling you guys as fathers and mothers into your community. And like Marlow Youth Centre with, you know, 30 or 40 teenagers, it's an amazing opportunity to be fathers and mothers to those young people.
We were thinking about the sort of context. We're mainly all from Marlow Bottom here, and thinking about some of the sort of natural context that you might be with your community, because clearly the wedding wasn't something that that had been put on specifically for Jesus or a church event, and actually about being there, but also then being in the position to offer something that's actually going to be a real blessing to people, you know, meet a need, but transformational, and sort of the best that we can give. And there's a lot in there around, you know, the wine being something that was so good and transformational and such a blessing, such a help. And so that's how we were thinking it through, really, in terms of taking those opportunities, really, to be those transformational people.
Well, we ended up discussing a real issue which we could immediately help with, which was just a simple resource thing. A person Rochelle met had a simple need of just a few pounds, well, about, you know, under £100, and it was to get himself licensed on a trade body. But of course, you then go to this point of, well, so do you just give the money to this person, or do you oversee the use of the money, or whatever? So there's real things we can do. We've got all of us have got the wealth to have coped with that, but the question was, how should you do it? And it was just thinking, do you move into a church body to do the giving? Do you do it personally? I guess we sort of thought, well, it's something that should raise from the church, so an individual isn't left in an awkward position. But we do realise there's a lot that can be done. So that's where we got to.
I guess with us, we're up at, up at the church gate, and it's being able to, in the school gate, and being able to reach out through that that sort of medium and people that you come across in that way. But we also then started to talk about that it's not just the children that we want to be talking to, it's other friends and people that we come across, and how we can work out to help and support them as well.
I was just remembering the fact that years ago we used to have quite regularly home church suppers, you know, when we just get together as a home church and have supper. And then we started at times inviting in the neighbours, and my neighbours came in and they loved it. And I think, you know, Vicky was saying about building community and inviting other people in, because your neighbours can all know that you go to church, but they're quite content for you to go to church, but it's nothing to do with them. And I think we need to invite them in to our lives so that they know that we want to share them. And Clive was talking about going to school events and building relationship, and of course that's what we do with River Life. You have to build relationship, and then people invite you into their problems. And the things we hear about at River Life are very deep, but what we need is to really be able to impact them. And probably the more we get involved in their lives and can invite them into our lives, the more impact there can be in the community. And Margaret had some frustration.
Well, it was really just reiterating what Evelyn said at first about home church lunches, because in one of my previous home church lunches, we used to have home church lunches, and some of my neighbours used to come, and one of them lives next door but one to me. She still talks about home church lunches, and that was really several years ago now. So it might be something we need to think about doing again.
Yeah, I'm all for lunches. We started doing monthly community lunches at the Journey a year ago, and it's just such a great space that people will come to who wouldn't come to anything else, and just a real place to grow relationship. Did your group over there?
And Sue and Russell have had to go, but Sue told us about being asked to help with a Christian service at an old people's home, which she really didn't want to do, but did. And she said the impact was astonishing, with people coming in and tears in their eyes and so on. And so she's still going to do it, but she finds it really difficult. Is there an opportunity for people to help? Absolutely. And then Russell had a practical idea. We were talking about the youth centre and how to make more of the youth centre, and how maybe the best ideas would come from the kids or from other people. And we should have, or the suggestion was to have something like a dragon's den. But the dragons wouldn't be sitting there with money. Well, they might, but it might be money, it might be time, it might be resource. And people come in with their ideas as to what they wanted to do in the community. And the dragons could pick up those, and then we could feed those ideas out a river from the resources we've got.
That's really great. Is there anyone else who wants to say something who hasn't had an opportunity yet? Great. Well, I think, you know, it's really good to talk together about how we're going to impact our community, because it's out of the togetherness that something better comes, because we're a team all in it together, wanting to love Marlow or the places where God has called us to be. So I just want to encourage you to talk to each other more as you step into this new season and see what will emerge and what God wants you to do.